Hi there, listener. Before we dive in, I want you to know that this podcast is AI generated. It's crafted from the topics and principles shared in the Bye Bye Panic Anxiety Recovery Program. And while AI helps bring this content to life, the recovery tools and insights remain rooted in the principles that have helped so many people overcome their symptoms for good. Enjoy the episode.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back. We're going to be doing a deep dive today, and we're going to be talking about something that I know a lot of you are dealing with, anxiety.
Yeah.
And if you're listening, chances are you want to overcome it and find some hope and inspiration. Today, we're going to be looking at some really insightful ideas from Sean Kasam. He has a great YouTube channel all about anxiety.
Yeah. And one of the things that Sean talks about is how anxiety can feel like it's trapping you in a cycle of worry and fear. Mm-hmm. And he even shares his own story about experiencing agoraphobia. And explains how it's not just about being afraid to go outside,
right?
But it's more about how you might feel when you're out in the world.
Exactly.
In one of his videos, Sean actually describes how he went from being a fearless world traveler to being stuck at home for over a year because of his anxiety. It just goes to show how powerful anxiety can be.
Wow. That's a really good point. So to help us understand what's happening in our brains and bodies when we experience anxiety, Sean uses this really cool analogy of a car.
Yeah, so he compares our nervous system to a car system. So think about it. The gas pedal is like our fight or flight response.
Okay.
It's super helpful when we need to react quickly to danger. Like if we're crossing the street and a car comes speeding towards us. But what happens when that gas pedal gets stuck?
We'd be in trouble.
Right.
We'd be constantly revving the engine, going full speed all the time.
Exactly. And that's kind of what happens with anxiety.
Yeah.
When we're constantly worried and stressed, our fight or flight response stays activated, even when there's no real danger.
No.
And then there are the brakes. Those represent our rest and digest system. This is where we get to chill out, relax, and recharge.
So if the gas pedal is all about action and energy,
yeah,
the brakes are all about slowing down and finding calm.
You got it.
Okay.
But here's where things get a bit more complicated. Sean explains that when anxiety becomes chronic, sometimes we get stuck in this freeze response. It's like slamming on the brakes and not being able to let go. He calls it the dorsal vagal response, and it's basically our body's way of shutting down to protect us from overwhelming stress.
So it's like our system is overloaded, so it hits the emergency brake.
Exactly, and this explains why we might feel completely drained and exhausted when dealing with anxiety, even though it can make us feel super energized at times.
Okay, so we have the gas pedal, we have the brakes, and we even have like an emergency brake sometimes. This car analogy is really helping me visualize what's happening in my body when anxiety takes over.
That's great to hear. Now, here's something that Sean emphasizes, and I think it's really important for anyone struggling with anxiety to understand. Recovering from anxiety is often counterintuitive. He actually says you have to feel the anxiety to overcome it.
That sounds a little scary, to be honest. Why would I want to feel more anxiety if I'm already struggling with it?
I know it sounds strange, but think of it this way. Imagine you've never touched a hot stove before. You wouldn't know it could burn you. But once you experience that heat, you learn to avoid it in the future.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. So are you saying that by avoiding anxiety, we're actually preventing ourselves from learning how to deal with it?
Exactly. Sean points out that a lot of people end up building their entire lives around avoiding anxiety.
Oh.
They might avoid certain places, social situations, or even people just to dodge those anxious feelings.
Wouldn't that make their world feel smaller and smaller?
Absolutely. And that's why it's so important to challenge ourselves to face those fears, even if it's uncomfortable at first.
Yeah.
It's like building a muscle. The more we use it, the stronger it gets.
Okay. I'm starting to see how avoiding anxiety might actually be making it worse in the long run.
Right.
But what about those times when it feels like you're making progress? And then suddenly, the anxiety comes back full force.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm constantly on this hamster wheel of anxiety, feeling better for a while, and then bam, it hits me again.
Mm-hmm.
Sean actually talks about this in his video, your anxiety symptoms are the last to go, right?
He does.
Yeah.
And that feeling of being on a hamster wheel is something that a lot of people experience.
Right.
It can be so discouraging, especially when you feel like you're doing everything right. But here's a really important shift in thinking that Sean suggests. Instead of focusing so much on the symptoms themselves, try to shift your attention to your response to those symptoms.
So it's not about trying to make the anxiety disappear completely, but about changing how we react to it when it shows up.
Precisely.
Okay.
Let me give you an example. Imagine you broke your leg and you're going through physical therapy to heal.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't spend every second of every day checking to see if the bone is fixed, right? You trust the healing process and focus on doing the exercises to rebuild your strength.
So in the same way, we need to trust that our minds and bodies are capable of healing from anxiety.
Yes.
And instead of constantly checking in on every little symptom, we should focus on building those mental and emotional muscles that will help us manage anxiety more effectively.
That's a great way to put it. And this is where Sean introduces this really powerful concept called anti-fragility.
Oh, yeah, I've heard him talk about that. What exactly does anti-fragility mean?
Well, just like a bone can heal back stronger after a break, Sean believes that facing anxiety head-on can actually make us more resilient in the long run.
So it's like we're not just trying to get back to where we were before the anxiety took hold. We're actually aiming to become even stronger and more capable of handling life's challenges.
Exactly. And I think that's a really hopeful and empowering message for anyone who's feeling stuck in the cycle of anxiety.
Okay, I'm really liking this idea of anti-fragility.
Good.
But how do we actually start becoming more anti-fragile? Where do we even begin?
That's a great question. And I think Sean provides some really valuable insights into that in one of his videos. He highlights 5 common pitfalls that keep us stuck in the anxiety cycle.
Okay.
He calls them the 5 Fs.
5 Fs, what are they?
Fear, fight, flight, fixate, and frustration.
Okay, so those 5 Fs represent patterns that keep us trapped in anxiety.
Exactly, they're like those pesky gremlins that whisper doubts in our ears and keep us from moving forward.
So if we can learn to recognize and challenge those 5 Fs, we can start to break free from the anxiety cycle and build that anti-fragility we're talking about.
You got it. And I think the first step is to simply become aware of these patterns. Notice when you're falling into the trap of fear, fight, flight, fixate, or frustration.
And then what? What do we do once we've identified those patterns?
Well, that's where things start to get really interesting, but I think we should probably save that discussion for part 2 of our deep dive. We don't want to overload everyone with too much information at once.
That's a good point. We want to give everyone a chance to digest all of this and maybe even start noticing those 5 Fs in their own lives.
Exactly. And remember, this is a journey, not a race. There's no pressure to have all the answers right away.
Okay, so let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll dive deeper into those 5 Fs. And explore some practical strategies for breaking free from those patterns that keep us stuck in anxiety.
Sounds good to me. Let's do it. Welcome back, everyone. Before the break, we were talking about Sean Kasam's 5 Fs.
Right.
Fear, fight, flight, fixate, and frustration, and how these can trap us in the anxiety cycle.
Yes, and I think it's really helpful to understand those patterns so we can start to break free from them. So let's unpack these 5 Fs a little bit more, shall we?
Absolutely. Let's start with fear. When we experience anxiety, it's natural to feel afraid.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes that fear can become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
What do you mean by that?
Well, imagine you're afraid of public speaking. The more you focus on that fear, the more likely you are to feel anxious when you have to give a presentation. And that anxiety can actually make it harder to speak clearly and confidently.
So we're not just afraid of the situation itself. We're also afraid of the anxiety that we might experience in that situation.
Exactly. It's like being afraid of being afraid. And that creates this vicious cycle where the fear feeds the anxiety and the anxiety reinforces the fear.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So how do we break free from that cycle?
Well, one way is to start questioning those fearful thoughts. Ask yourself, is this fear based on reality? Or am I catastrophizing?
Catastrophizing, what does that mean?
It means imagining the worst case scenario. For example, if you're afraid of public speaking, you might catastrophize by thinking, I'm going to freeze up, everyone's going to laugh at me, and I'll never be able to show my face in public again.
Wow, that's a pretty extreme reaction.
Right. But it's something that a lot of people do when they're feeling anxious. So the next time you find yourself catastrophizing, try to challenge those thoughts. Ask yourself, is it really likely that this worst case scenario will happen? And even if it did happen, would it really be the end of the world?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I think we often overestimate how bad things will be. So we've talked about fear. What about the fight response?
Well, when we're in fight mode, we're basically trying to control or suppress our anxiety. We might try to push those feelings away, ignore them, or distract ourselves from them.
So it's like we're battling against the anxiety, trying to force it to go away.
Exactly. But here's the thing. The more we try to fight anxiety, the stronger it often becomes. It's like trying to hold a beach ball underwater. The more you push, the more it wants to pop back up.
Ah, I see. So fighting anxiety is kind of like a losing battle?
In a way, yes. It's more effective to learn to accept those feelings of anxiety rather than trying to control them.
That sounds really hard, though. How do you just accept something that feels so uncomfortable?
It takes practice, but it's definitely possible. One helpful technique is mindfulness.
Mindfulness? What's that?
It's basically about paying attention to the present moment without judgment. So instead of trying to push away those anxious thoughts and feelings, you simply observe them. Notice how they feel in your body, what sensations they create, and how they come and go like waves.
So it's about becoming more aware of our experience without trying to change it.
Exactly. And the more we practice mindfulness, the less reactive we become to those anxious thoughts and feelings.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. So we've covered fear and fight. What about flight?
Flight is all about avoidance. As we discussed earlier, many people structure their lives around avoiding things that trigger their anxiety.
Like avoiding social situations, public speaking, or even just leaving the house.
Exactly. But as we talked about, avoidance can actually make anxiety worse in the long run. It reinforces those fearful patterns and shrinks our world.
It's like giving anxiety a map of all the places it can control us.
That's a great way to put it. Now, the fourth F, fixate, is something I think we can all relate to. It's that tendency to get stuck in our heads, obsessing over our symptoms and trying to figure out why we're feeling this way.
Oh, I'm totally guilty of that. I can spend hours Googling my symptoms, which usually just makes me feel more anxious.
I think we've all been there. And it's understandable. We want answers. We want to feel in control. But that hyper-focus on symptoms can actually keep us stuck in the anxiety loop.
So how do we break free from that fixation?
Again, mindfulness can be really helpful. Instead of getting caught up in those anxious thoughts, try to shift your attention to your senses. What do you see, hear, smell, taste, and touch right now? Focus on your breath. Engage in activities that bring you joy and help you feel grounded in the present moment.
That makes sense. It's about redirecting our attention away from those anxious thoughts and towards something more positive and calming.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked about fear, fight, flight, and fixate. What about the last F, frustration?
Well, frustration is often a natural consequence of the other four Fs. When we're constantly battling anxiety, trying to escape it, and fixating on every symptom, it's no wonder we feel frustrated. And that frustration just adds another layer to the whole experience.
This is like a vicious cycle. The anxiety creates frustration, and the frustration fuels the anxiety.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to find healthy ways to manage that frustration.
Like what? What are some things we can do when we're feeling frustrated with our anxiety?
Well, first, it's important to acknowledge those feelings of frustration. Don't try to push them away or pretend they're not there. Allow yourself to feel them, but don't let them consume you.
So it's about accepting those feelings without letting them take over.
Exactly. And then find healthy outlets for that frustration. Talk to someone you trust. Exercise. Spend time in nature. Listen to music. Do something creative. Whatever helps you release that pent-up energy in a positive way.
That makes a lot of sense. So we've now covered all five Fs, but before we move on, I just want to reiterate something that you mentioned earlier. Recovering from anxiety is a journey, not a race.
Mm-hmm.
There will be ups and downs, and it's okay to not have all the answers right away.
Absolutely. And I think it's also important to remember that you don't have to go through this journey alone. There are so many resources available to help you. Therapists, counselors, support groups, online communities. You don't have to do this by yourself.
That's a great point. Seeking support can be incredibly helpful. Whether it's talking to a therapist, joining a support group, or connecting with others who understand what you're going through, having that network of support can make a huge difference. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about the mental and emotional aspects of anxiety, but what about the physical stuff? I know when I'm anxious, I experience all sorts of physical sensations, like a racing heart, shortness of breath, muscle tension, even dizziness.
That's completely normal. Anxiety doesn't just live in our heads. It affects our whole body.
Mm-hmm.
Our bodies are wired to respond to perceived threats. And that's what anxiety is, our alarm system going off, even when there's no real danger present.
So those physical sensations, while uncomfortable, are not harmful.
Right. They're just our body's way of trying to protect us. And learning to recognize and accept those sensations without judgment is a huge step towards managing anxiety.
So instead of freaking out when our heart starts racing, we can remind ourselves that it's just a temporary physical response and it will pass.
Exactly. And over time, as we become less afraid of those sensations, they'll start to have less power over us.
Okay, this is making more sense. So we're learning to understand anxiety, not fear it, to accept those physical sensations as part of the process and to seek support when we need it. But I'm curious, what does it actually look like to put all of this into practice? What are some specific strategies or techniques that people can use to manage their anxiety and build that anti-fragility we talked about?
That's a great question. There are so many different approaches, and what works best will vary from person to person. But I think one of the most important things is to develop a toolbox of coping skills that you can draw from when anxiety strikes.
A toolbox of coping skills. I like that analogy.
Yeah.
So what kind of tools would we put in this toolbox?
Well, some helpful tools might include relaxation techniques like deep breathing exercises, progressive muscle relaxation, or mindfulness meditation.
Those sound like good starting points.
What else? Another important tool is cognitive reframing. This is about challenging those negative thought patterns that contribute to anxiety and replacing them with more balanced and realistic thoughts.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. Let's say you're feeling anxious about an upcoming presentation. A negative thought might be, I'm going to mess this up and everyone's going to think I'm a failure. A more balanced thought might be, I've prepared well and even if I make a mistake, it's not the end of the world.
So it's about shifting our perspective and focusing on the positive rather than the negative.
Exactly. And over time, with practice, we can actually retrain our brains to think more positively and realistically.
That's pretty amazing. Are there any other tools we should add to our anxiety toolbox?
Well, I think it's also helpful to engage in activities that bring you joy and help you feel grounded. This could be spending time in nature, listening to music, spending time with loved ones, or engaging in creative pursuits.
It sounds like self-care is a really important part of managing anxiety.
Yeah, absolutely. When we take care of ourselves physically, emotionally, and mentally, we're better equipped to handle the challenges that life throws our way.
This has been so insightful.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm starting to see anxiety in a whole new light. Not as this enemy that I need to conquer, but as something I can learn to manage and even grow from. But I know we've covered a lot of ground today. Is there anything else you want to emphasize before we wrap things up?
I think one of the most important things to remember is that the goal isn't to completely eliminate anxiety. That's not realistic. The goal is to develop healthy coping strategies to build resilience and to move towards a place where anxiety no longer controls our lives.
Ah, okay. That makes more sense. So we're aiming for a place where anxiety might still pop up from time to time, but we have the tools and the confidence to handle it.
Exactly. It's about reclaiming your power, rediscovering your strength, and living a life that feels expansive and joyful even amidst the challenges.
This has been incredibly helpful and inspiring. But before we move on to part three, I want to circle back to something we touched on earlier, the importance of finding a guide for this journey.
Yes, this is so crucial. Having someone to support you, encourage you, and hold space for you can make all the difference in the world.
And I think it's important to emphasize that there's no shame in seeking help. In fact, it's a sign of strength and self-awareness.
Absolutely. It takes courage to acknowledge that we need support, and it's a vital step towards healing.
So if you're listening and you're feeling lost or overwhelmed, please know that you don't have to go through this alone. There are people who care, people who understand, and people who can help.
Reach out to a trusted friend, family member, therapist, or coach. Join a support group. Explore online resources. There are so many options available.
And remember, you are worthy of support, you are capable of healing, and you are not defined by your anxiety.
Beautifully said. Now I think it's time for us to take another quick break. When we come back for part three, we'll delve deeper into the idea of finding a guide for your healing journey and explore how to navigate those challenging moments with greater ease and confidence.
Sounds good. See you all in a bit. Welcome back, everyone. In the last part, we were talking about the importance of finding a guide for your healing journey.
Yeah, having someone who understands anxiety and can help you navigate the ups and downs of recovery can make a huge difference. It's like having a Sherpa guiding you up a mountain.
Mm.
You know the terrain, they can anticipate obstacles and help you reach the summit.
That's such a great analogy.
Right.
So who are some of the people who can serve as guides on this journey?
Well, it could be a therapist, a counselor, a coach, a mentor, or even a trusted friend or family member who really gets it. It's about finding someone you feel comfortable opening up to, someone who can offer support and guidance without judgment.
And I think it's important to emphasize that there's no shame in seeking professional help. In fact, it takes a lot of courage to acknowledge that you need support.
Absolutely. Reaching out for help is a sign of strength, not weakness. It shows that you're committed to taking care of yourself and moving towards a brighter future.
And for anyone who might be feeling hesitant about taking that step, what would you say to encourage them?
I would say that you deserve support. You're worthy of healing, and you don't have to go through this alone. There are people who care about you and want to help you feel better.
That's so true. And remember, there are many different types of therapy and support available, so it's about finding what works best for you.
Exactly. Don't be afraid to ask questions, explore different options, and advocate for your needs. Your healing journey is unique to you, and finding the right guide can make all the difference.
And speaking of journeys, I think it's important to remember that recovery from anxiety is a process, not a destination. There will be ups and downs along the way, and it's okay to not have all the answers right away.
That's such an important point. Be patient with yourself, celebrate the small victories, and never give up on the possibility of a brighter future.
You know, it's so inspiring to hear stories from people like Sean, who have gone through these incredibly challenging experiences with anxiety and come out the other side stronger and more resilient than ever. Gives me so much hope that recovery is possible.
Absolutely. And while the journey might feel long and winding at times, the possibility of a full recovery is very real. Remember, you're not alone and you're capable of amazing things.
This has been such an insightful and encouraging deep dive. We've covered a lot of ground today, from understanding the science behind anxiety to exploring practical strategies for managing it and finding the support you need to heal. What are some key takeaways you hope our listeners will remember from this episode?
Well, I hope they'll remember that anxiety is a normal human experience, and it doesn't have to control their lives. With the right tools, support, and mindset, they can break free from those limiting beliefs and behaviors and step into a life that feels expansive and joyful.
I love that. It's about reclaiming your power and rediscovering the things that make you feel alive and connected.
Exactly. It's about remembering that you are worthy of love, happiness, and peace, even amidst the challenges.
Well said. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and insights with us today.
It was my pleasure.
And to everyone listening, we want to leave you with this. You are not alone. You are capable of incredible things. And you are worthy of a life filled with peace, joy, and freedom. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we hope you'll join us next time.